I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. What a holy God we serve and worship. The privilege that we have to enter into the heavenly realm as we worship, transport spiritually from the here and now into the heavens and worshiping with all the saints and all the angels. What a privilege. Jesus had, when he said it's finished and the curtain tore in two, we have that privilege to go in at any time through the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so, Christians, we live here on this earth, but we also live in that heavenly realm, in that worship portal, if you will, in that place of God's throne. And the more that we dwell in that place and are cognizant and aware of the spiritual realm, of the presence of God, giving Him honor and glory and worship, that's the stronger we'll be through the storms of life. And as we go into this passage of Scripture, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can read it later because there's a lot of nautical terms and a lot of they've traveled here and there and here and there, but the thing is this is a great shipwreck, and Paul was on the ship heading towards Rome as God said that he would do, and he also had his companion Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, with him. As you notice, he began to go into the we again here, and he describes in great detail the magnitude of this storm. And you might be here today facing some storms in your life, facing some difficulties. In fact, the winds are against you, it seems. And then in verse 7, he says that we arrived with great difficulty. In verse 8, it was with difficulty that they were going in their passage. And then in verse 9, it was dangerous. And then again in verse 16, he says it was with difficulty. And they're on this ship sailing to where God wants Paul to go. And there's some things and some lessons that we can learn here about having faith in the midst of the storm. When we receive bad news, when someone sends a letter and in it is something, maybe a divorce paper or something like that, something that you never thought would happen to you, or a family member has passed away, or someone has fallen ill and now you have the trial and the decision to take care of that family member. What is it for you? We all have faced storms. I think there's some that are going through storms right now. There's some that are heading into storms. And there's some that have been through storms. And as we go through this passage of Scripture, I hope that you'll be encouraged with faith. And you might ask again, what is faith? Faith is not just reciting something over and over until you believe that it's true. That would be kind of like an incantation or a form of witchcraft. But a lot of the name it and claim it people use that. Recite this 7 times and then God is going to answer this prayer. That's not what faith is all about. Faith is being assured of what we hope for, it says in Hebrews, simply put. It's assured of what we hope for. And what do we hope for? It's what's written in God's Word. So, in other words, it's believing God's Word in spite of how the circumstances look around you, no matter how you're feeling, because there are times when we feel like God is not near. There are times when we feel like, God, where are you? I don't know you, I can't feel you, I can't touch you. But it's that faith that brings us through the valley of the shadow of death, that we trust God to bring about a good result according to His standards or the standard of His Word. It's believing that everything that is written in this book from the beginning and the end is true, even though you're not feeling it at the moment. We don't always feel happy. We don't always feel strong. We don't always feel like facing the next day. But God's Word stands true. And that is the anchor that we have. And that is the faith that we have. And so throughout this passage of Scripture, I want to point out 5 different things and characteristics that Paul had, because he was a man of faith in this situation when they were about to have a shipwreck. And as a matter of fact, I want to begin in verses 9 through 12, and let's read that together. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, and he was referring to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which means it was late in September. And ships didn't sail late in September. Most of them would park in their bays, and that was it. But they were determined to get to Rome. A wise and common sense person would say no, because there's this great wind that's going to come that's called the Northeaster. It was a typhoon that would appear on the sea, so it was dangerous during this time of year. So he marked that as that time. Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be injury and much loss, not only of the cargo on the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. They said, this place where we're at is not good enough, it's not fancy enough, it's not luxurious enough, it's not comfortable enough, let's go to this next port, let's just take a chance and do that. Paul warned them. And so the first thing I want to talk about is, if you have faith in the promises of God, it provides wisdom in the midst of the storm of how to navigate. So Paul was perceptive and used wisdom, and as a matter of fact, some of us might even say common sense. It's common sense to take God's word as it says, black and white, for what it is, and believe it. They don't act in haste, but listen for God's voice. And you know, when we deal with these kinds of things in our life, as Americans especially, we can probably relate to the people on that ship. They say, you know, this island is no good, there's no resort here, there's really no comfortable beds, there's not a good port to anchor our ship to and just have a good time for the winter, since we have to spend, this one's not good enough, so let's just take a chance and go on to the next one. Paul says, no, it's not wise, don't do it. That's wisdom from God. And so if you have faith in God's promises, you'll begin to glean wisdom from God. They don't act in haste, so, and they don't rely on chance. And that's what they did in the end of verse 12. They said, well, Paul says we shouldn't go, but let's take a vote. And the majority decided this is not a good place to be. Let's go. Let's take a chance. We know it's dangerous. We know there's no other ships out there, and we're going to move on. But those that have faith in God don't act in haste. They don't rely on chance, but they rely on God's leading. See, people of the world throw the dice and say, whatever happens, happens. But people that have faith in God listen for the voice of God. In fact, what Jennifer was talking about in her study sounds like a good topic, to learn the voice of God, to learn to follow His leading. They exercise wisdom and they warn others of what's to happen. They maintain their faith in God's principles, even though others do not take heed. And I bet you, and I can guarantee that most of us in here have been in a spot where we said, I don't think God wants us to do that. But because you're on the ship together with that group of people or those family members, you have to set sail with them, even though you know it's not the right thing. Paul knew it was wrong. He didn't stomp his feet. He didn't say, you know, get me out of here. For one, he was a prisoner, so that wouldn't have been good for him to walk away. But Luke could have. Aristarchus could have. They said, see you, Paul. But they didn't bail on him because they still had faith in God, even though the rest of the ship was going in the wrong direction. And I want to ask you today, do you have faith in God even though the rest of your ship might be going in the wrong direction? Might not be believing God as you might be believing Him. And that's the thing we deal with as spouses. And that's why we work together as a team in with our spouses or with our church family, is that while one loses faith, the other has the faith to get us through. And we see this example here that Paul had great faith in God. Faith provides wisdom in the storm. Number two, faith in God provides a display of God's grace in the storm. Let's move down to Actually, let's read from verse 13 down. He says, "Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose," they said, "Ha-ha, see, we took a chance, we got it." And they weighed anchor and sailed along creek close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running along the lee of the small island called Kauta, we managed with difficulty, there's that word again, to secure the ship's boat. So in other words, they were tying ropes around that thing. The waves were crashing so strong, these wooden boats would break apart, so they were tying ropes around it to try to keep the thing together. And after hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. And then fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. So since we were violently storm-tossed... Now, that is not just a calm word there. Is there anybody that does get seasick on a boat? Yeah, I think I would be one such person, and after a few waves, I think I'd say, let's get... God made dry land for a reason. Let's stay there. So he was violently storm-tossed. I mean, this was no calm thing. I mean, this is like the movie The Perfect Storm, where the waves were crashing in and people were being thrown around and tossed around everywhere. This is a huge storm. And since they were violently, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. They started saying, okay, we got to get rid of some of this stuff. And their suitcases, they started throwing over the edge. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard, all their fishing stuff, with their own hands, when neither sun nor stars appeared for just a few days. No, it says many days. Can you imagine being tossed around on this ride that's going to make some of us queasy, and we don't have those Dramamine pills or things like that. They didn't have that back then. And no small tempest lay among. All hope of being saved was at last abandoned. So now you know where they're at. They were tossed around so much, they're pushed around so much that they lost every shred of hope that they have in their chance that they took. They say, we rolled the dice. The dice is not going like we did. This is it. But verse 21... Since they had been without food for a long time, and they didn't need to be without food, because if we were to back up and really look at what kind of ship this was a grain ship from Alexandria or Egypt. So it was full of grain and full of food. So they had plenty to eat, but they were so tossed about by the wind that they couldn't eat. They were so scared that all they could think about is how can we keep ourselves from being thrown out of this boat. They couldn't eat, and they were stressed out. Paul stood up among them. Now, imagine all these expert ship captains and people that have been running these ships. And here's little old Paul, who's partly blind, coming to the end of his ministry, stands up, and while the rest of them are in fear and not eating, and he says, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail for Crete and incurred the injury and loss." He spoke the truth. It was true. He said, "You guys are shipmen. You know that you're not supposed to sail after September. Here's me, a preacher, a little old missionary, and I knew that we shouldn't have done this." But he says, "Yet now I urge you to take heart." Now, notice that Paul didn't condemn them. He said, "Okay, you should have listened." He didn't use this as a chance of saying, "Now you're all going to die," to get back at them. He says, "For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." And they're thinking, this guy's got to be crazy. This preacher's out of his mind. "For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God, to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar.'" That's the promise of God. That's God's word to him. "And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground to some island." So faith in God provides a display of God's grace. Now, these guys didn't listen to Paul, but God, because Paul was a man that trusted in God, he spoke God's word and shared encouragement of what he received of the Lord from others. Now, most of us, if you're like me, we're in that situation, and you warn and you say, I don't want to get on this ship, I don't want to go this way, but your family's going that way, or your church is going that way, or the people are in your life and your workplace are going that way. Most of us would say, be like Jonah, right? God, I don't want you to save them. I want you to wipe them out. Jonah was in a situation like that where God's judgment was coming and going to wipe them out. And he complained to God when God saved him and they repented. But that wasn't Paul's heart, because he understood the gospel that we preach is a gospel of grace. And what is grace, Sandy? Grace is what God gives us that we don't deserve. He also no mercy. But think about this. We have a gospel of grace. So here these people did the wrong thing and didn't listen. And because of the faith of one man, well, maybe two, Aristarchus and Luke, or three, the whole ship was saved. And instead of condemning them, Paul says, guys, all hope is not lost, even though you didn't listen the first time around. And then he shared God's word with urgency upon him. He shared it in almost a pleading and encouraging way. He says, uses that phrase, take heart. In other words, choose joy. Be of good cheer, is that phrase there. They share God's word in a way of that's encouraging, that says, come on, keep going. Choose joy. God's got this. He's going to get you through this. He's going to push you through this storm, or as our sister shared earlier, a nightmare, in fact, in our lives that we might be going through. God is going to push you through. And it's interesting to note that even though the rest of the ship had no faith, they were still saved because of the faith of Paul. That's grace, isn't it? And you know, I just, as I thought about this morning and just looking through that in a deeper way, isn't it wonderful that we are carriers of God's grace? And that if we are in tune with God and have faith in God, that it's going to help save other people as well. And other people are going to benefit from the grace of God that's at work in our lives. That this joy, this gospel spreads around to other people. And not only just spiritually the gospel, but physical circumstances, as we see here in the text. So, all hope is not lost. But God desires to demonstrate His grace and love to those around us through us when we're in the midst of a storm. Think about that for a moment. You mean God wants to show His love through me when I'm going through what feels like hell right now in my life? Yes. Because they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagle. They will run and not be weary. And they will walk and not faint. They exude the love of Jesus. In the Gospels it says He's poured out His love upon us. And you can't imagine when something's being poured, other people are going to get splashed a little bit with the love of Jesus at work in the life in the midst of our hardest circumstance. Number three, faith in God provides a stable anchor in the storm. One of my favorite passages, and I'm not going to turn there right now, but you can later. But Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 20 talks about the covenant that comes with the gospel of grace. And it says it's like an anchor that goes into the Holy of Holies that we just sang about. Holy God, the throne room of God. We have an anchor for our souls, it says. So I like to picture it this way. I'm being tossed all around in every different direction. This ship is throwing me up in the air. The circumstances of my life are throwing me everywhere. It's a nightmare. It's surrounding me. It's overwhelming. It's just eating me from the inside out. But I have an anchor. that goes into the only place in the universe that's stable and sure and solid and fixed, and that is the very presence of a holy God. Do you realize your anchor? Do you realize that place that you have, that you're held? Even though you might be flying all over the place, you have an anchor and you're not going to fly away. You're not going to drown. Because you have a spiritual anchor that's fixed on the solid rock in the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God. And that should encourage us to maintain that relationship that God, that Paul had with God. Why did an angel appear to him? Why was he aware of what God was doing in the midst when they even made the wrong decisions? Because he spent time with God. See, faith in God provides a stable answer. And those of faith maintain a relationship with the Lord even though they may not feel the Lord at the time. See, they are constantly aware that God is present with them. And you don't have to feel His presence for Him to be present. Because Jesus made the promise. He said, in the end of the Great Commission, I am with you always. There we go. I was a little bit worried there for a second. He is with you always. And so, I would just encourage you to pray. God, make me aware of Your presence. Make me aware of the anchor that's for my soul that goes beyond the curtain. They're constantly aware that God is present with them. And they're not afraid but live in that constant trust that they belong to God. Notice how he words that there. This is some amazing stuff. He says, don't be afraid there. I urge you. Verse 21, men listen, take heart. And he said, there was an angel of God, and this is how he describes God. First of all, he says, to whom I belong and whom I worship, or that word worship there is to serve. They're not afraid, but they trust that they belong to God. In what way do you belong to God? As followers of Jesus Christ, Ephesians says we belong to God as our Father. We're His children. We're adopted into His family in Ephesians chapter 1. You belong to God as the bride, and as a bride would to a bridegroom, it says in Ephesians later on. You belong to God as the sheep belong to the shepherd. A person who rides through the storm, they hang on to the truth that I belong to God. There was two little girls, one older. The mother made dinner and said, go upstairs and tell your dad. And of course, you can imagine between two girls, there's always this competition and who gets there first and who would delight daddy the most. And of course, the older one outruns the other one. And she says, see, I have all of daddy. And then the little girl starts to burst into tears. The father picks her up in his arms and she says, but daddy has all of me. That's what it means to belong. Your dad, your heavenly Father in heaven, has all of you. It's one thing to have all of God, but to know that God has all of you and you belong to Him as His most treasured possession is what anchors us through this storm. It's security. Where the rest of the ship was living in terror and fear, Paul could say, and just like our Savior exemplified when he was in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, he was snoozing in the back. Why? Because he's aware of the presence of God that does not move, even though we're moving because we're stuck in our circumstances. That word afraid means to put to flight by terrified. In other words, they were scared to death. They were struck with fear. They were seized with alarm. They were startled by the sights and the occurrences of what they see, the lightning and the wind and the waves coming over and the things that had to be tossed in the sea. Afraid of something bad is going to happen. Have you been living your life like something bad might happen tomorrow? If so, have faith. Know that the presence of God can be near. Jesus says over and over, do not be afraid. And I think that God says that in the Bible hundreds of times. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because He's with us. And they live, last of all, not only do we belong, but we live in a constant lifestyle of worship. Paul says, this is the God who I worship. So it's not just somebody up there, the man upstairs, but He is the God that I serve and I minister to. And so how did we have that faith in the midst of the storm and have that anchor? We have to practice the presence of God. We have to remind ourselves of the words of Jesus. Even if it's taking that phrase, I am with you always, and putting it on our dashboard or putting it on our mirror at home or wherever we have to put it to remind us of that. But also to relish that we belong to Him and realize that we minister to Him. You might say, well, as a pastor, you're the one that's called to minister to people. But truthfully, in the kingdom of God, we're all called to be ministers. But our number one ministry is to minister to the Lord. To cultivate that intimate relationship with Him. And if that's not happening, there's no way that our ministries of serving others or in the church and whatever parts we might be in are not ministered. So worship begins with ministering to God. God, I give You the glory today. I want You to be pleased with my life today. They live a lifestyle of worship. And then faith in God provides confidence in the storm. So we have stability, but we also have confidence, and they trust and believe God's Word. Did you notice how He words that? Don't be afraid. You're going to stand before Caesar. God has granted you all of those, and He uses these words, take heart, have faith in God, and it will be exactly as I've been told. They trust and believe that God will fulfill His Word. They don't lose heart, but take God at His Word and choose joy. Now, when we talk about joy, we're not talking about a giddy state of just feeling. We're talking about a heart that is assured that God's got this. And I can choose. That's why I can choose joy. I can choose to be of good cheer because God has promised and God has come through in the past and He's always going to come through in the future because He's holy and perfect. And so even though the things around my life are falling apart, it doesn't mean I'm not going to be in tears or in sorrow or in grief, because that's a gift of God when we're going through hard times. It's a healing balm when we grieve. We're not talking about don't grieve, but I'm talking about being assured in our heart and soul that everything is going to be okay. Because God is in control. We may lose people, we may lose family, we may lose friends, we may lose jobs. We may face horrific struggles in our lives. But we can be confident and know that just as Paul was in this situation, that God has a plan and He's going to work out His will in our lives and He's going to take us through that process. They believe God will do exactly what He says He will do. Now, the problem with that is that sometimes when we have promises like, I will be with you always, we qualify those promises and we add our own little commentary with it, right? Well, God will be with me if He sends me, you know, like back in the day when I was still single and looking for someone to marry, and finally it was when I was of older age and all of that, but I used to think, God, you know, everything will be good if I can find that person to marry. That's not what we're talking about. God, you're with me and I'll be aware of Your presence if this, this, and this, and this happens. See, we have to get to the exactness of this, and the exactness is that God is in spite of how we feel, in spite of how we think it's going to work out in our lives. God will do exactly what He says He will do. God's going to save us. God's going to get us through. That's why He says in our scripture reading this morning, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. For your rod and staff are with me, and they comfort me. It doesn't say you're going to skip out on the trouble, or skip out on the grief, or skip out on the trial that comes, but I'm going to go with you through it. And so faith in God also provides sustenance in the storm. As we close today, they put action to their faith by giving God the thanks and encouraging others. And I think this is a helpful tool that God has given us to get into His presence is thanksgiving. I had a mentor that always would say, Michael, I want you to tell me what you are most thankful for, and then tell me what you're most thankful for that you're least thankful for. You think about that for a moment. I challenge you to do that. What are you least thankful for right now in your life? And then thank God for it. Because know that He's working to shape you and He's involved in your life because He loves and cares for you with such a great depth and intimacy. They put action to their faith. Look in verse 33. He says, and the day was about dawn. Paul urged them to take some food. There was Paul, this storm being tossed around, and there's Paul in the back of the ship chomping down some bread, some grain. Why? Because he believed God was going to do what He said He was going to do. Today is the 14th day that you've continued in suspense. And it's kind of like they were hanging in midair. We're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. So they didn't eat. They were hungry, even though the grain was right there. Paul says, I believe God, so I'm going to sit down and have lunch. Well, I don't know about you, but don't mind if I do. When the devil assails you, when people around you are in turmoil, because you have a faith in God, you can sit down and have your lunch and thank God for it. You can go to bed at night and sleep and thank God for it, even in the midst of grief and struggle and trial, because God is there. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. Even with all that wind blowing, you'd think some of the people that were a little bit older on the ship would, you know, and my age, and would start losing some hair. The wind's blowing around, you know. Don't look at Steve. He still has some hair, but I was looking for shiny heads around here. You must have been in some big windstorms. But no, he said, you're not going to lose any hair. What happens when we get under a lot of stress and we're not trusting God, and especially in, and please don't take this as a an all, because some of us have melatonin and things like that, and that our hair turns gray. But I know that my hair, because I have chosen stress, started to turn gray in different areas sooner than it probably should have. Now, I know later in life it turns gray because of wisdom, right? So that's not all inclusive. But our body produces these endorphins. Now, I've got to back out of this slowly now. But it is true that when we're stressed out, things in our body start to get out of order. And many health practitioners can attest to that. Paul says, don't stress out over the little things and the big things. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your meals with them. Because life is a vapor. They live a lifestyle of thanking God for His promises, and they feast on Christ. And you notice how Paul did in verse 35. He says, in their presence, he broke bread and began to eat. What was that? Here's all these Gentiles on the ship. They saw, here's this Jew breaking bread. with Passover. And I'm sure Paul included Christ in his, like we do when we take communion. So he was feasting on Jesus while everybody else was held in suspense. I think that even in this past week, you know, and all of us have gone through grief, and I would say this is a level of grief that I have not personally experienced in my life before up to this point. But I can also say with confidence, when I walked up to my grandfather's casket, and knowing that he's not there, but that he's rejoicing in heaven, because of the promises of God's Word, no matter how grave, how destitute, how horrible things are in life, we have hope. And you know, at that moment, when I walked up there, I thought about that. I said, what about people that die and don't have a relationship with Jesus? There's no hope. I can't imagine the feeling of hopelessness. But we have it in Christ. We have an anchor in Jesus Christ. Feast on Christ in the midst of your storm. And sure enough, Paul was protected and safe. And in fact, 276 people were saved. You can read from 39 down. They were brought, on verse 44, they floated on planks and pieces of the ship, and they were all brought safely to land. Stand still and see the salvation of God. See, when a person believes God in spite of their circumstances, they will see the salvation of the Lord. Do you believe that? If you were to answer honestly, some of us at certain times would say no, including myself. Why? Because I don't feel the salvation of the Lord. But I have the promises, and that's what I can hang on to. So if anything, brothers and sisters, I love you so much. When you face storms, feast on Christ. Simply because you can. You have that privilege. A way has been opened up into the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God. If there's anything of any encouragement, you know, that some of us have lost loved ones, and I had quite a heaviness of God's presence during our worship time today, and I saw my grandfather would talk about worship choruses, and he would call them 7x7, and he didn't really like them. 70x7, because it's 7 words said and sung 70 times, right? But what I saw is we're singing holy, holy, holy. He was singing with all these people with him. He said, I get it, with a big smile. I get 70x7. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. With a big grin, singing it. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Maybe God gives us these things as comforts to know of what we have in the future. So, the trials of this life that we go through now are nothing compared to the glory that's to come. Nothing compared to the glory that's to come. The worship team come this morning. Father, we love you. Even in the midst of great grief and sorrow, we we know that life is a vapor and this will soon be over. But Lord, the fact that you let us come into your presence now, and the fact that we can find peace in the midst of the storm now. Oh, how you love us, Lord. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. We thank you for your anchor, Lord. We thank you for your surety. We thank you for your promises being fixed and secure, and yes and amen. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would tenderly guide us when we don't feel your presence, God. When we have a hard time believing. I just pray that you touch each person with your glorious presence today. In Jesus' name.